always good to get together to worship God here in chapel. So I'd just like to start this morning's service with a short reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, a very familiar reading, I'm sure. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And I should have just mentioned that there's our daily breads there starting in June. Please help yourself to those. And there's also the little verse for the memory verse for the month. So help yourself. Stick it on your fridge and you may learn it quicker if you look at it. Okay, so we're talking about persecution this morning. And that is our next in the line in the Walk for the Bible series. And so should we go through the hand signs just to remind us of the complete story, or not the complete story, but the story so far. Greece, language. Israel, hopes. Rome, roads. Birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan. Second birth, woman at the well. Rejection, selection, parables, miracles. Testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost. Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised. Triumphal entry, temple cleansing, last supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, and persecution. We're doing a whip for persecution. Okay, so last time I spoke about Stephen, a servant leader. He was accused of blaspheming Moses and speaking against the temple. And Stephen gave his response, which was a tremendous sermon that ended in him being stoned to death. And so our reading is, we're going to recap a little bit of Stephen's last few moments. And so the reading is Acts 7, verses 54, starting at 54, going over into chapter 8, verse 4. Could I have a reader, please? We've got two screens to read. And thank you, Isla.
No. At these things they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. They cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he had fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution, and then arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentations over him, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering houses after houses. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word.
Okay, so it's great to have our Bibles with us as well, isn't it? And on the screen, so that we can follow along and to check out what it's been, whether I'm saying the right things, even. So there were believers from all around the region, some Hebrew speaking, some Greek speaking. Most of them had a foundation in the Jewish faith. And these people, they were recognizing Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. And they saw that Jesus had fulfilled the law of Moses. He'd completed it by being the final sacrifice, so that they could receive forgiveness for their sins. You remember in the past they had to go to the priest to obtain sacrifice of forgiveness for their sins. And so for today, if we want to be forgiven, we thank Jesus directly for doing the sacrificing of himself for us. There's no need of the temple, of the priests, or the sacrificial animals. And so an entire layer of power of religious leaders and priests have been wiped away. And so they were not happy. You know, what were they going to do with themselves? So they wanted to stop it from happening. No further erosion of their power and status. They intended to grab it back and they were prepared to use force. Verse 1 there says, and a great wave of persecution. Try and read what's on the screen. After Paul's soul. Sorry, not being able to read it very well. A great wave of persecution spread over the church in Jerusalem. And so I want to look at this subject through the following three headings. And they are, who is doing the persecuting? What was the response of the Christians to the persecuting? And what about now? And we're going to have a video about now with Open Doors telling us about persecution in the world today. So who is doing the persecuting? Jewish leaders, very simple. And one of these was Saul. He was one of the witnesses to Stephen's murder, and he completely agreed with it. And we see in verse 3 that Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Saul was a leading Pharisee. We're going to do about him in a couple of months. Very intelligent man. He wrote most of the good proportion of the New Testament. And he was very keen to put a stop to the Christian faith at this point in time. He wanted to maintain the Jewish faith. And he saw that as the one true faith. And he didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And so that was the key to the whole thing. The Old Testament points to Messiah who will restore the world to perfection. The lion shall lay down with the lamb again, as it did in the Garden of Eden. God would bring this Messiah from the nation of Israel. And God did exactly as he promised. He sent the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, to Israel, to the nation of Israel. But the Jews rejected him and got the Romans to crucify him. But all was not lost. God used this to bring about the central plan of his salvation. Jesus became the fulfillment of the law of Moses. He became the ultimate sacrifice. And so no more sacrifices were needed. And so if the Jews accepted Jesus as the Messiah, Savior and King, they would have to change their mindset, and the Jewish leaders needed to surrender their priestly power. The Romans had allowed them to keep a lot of their religious power, provided they stayed in line, and they did to some degree, but come AD 70, the Romans had just had enough, and they destroyed the temple and sacked all of Jerusalem. And so it was bad news. A little later on, the Romans really vamped up persecution of the Christians because the emperor didn't want anyone other than himself to be known as Lord. Nero was brutal in his persecution of Christians in Rome. And for almost 300 years, under successive emperors, Christians faced empire-wide persecution. So, as I'm sure you realize, I'm no historian, but just put a few facts together. But there's others here who are very much more able to tell you about these sorts of things if you want to know. History tells us that Christians suffered greatly. No death was thought too nasty for Christians. But the first person, so they were fed to the lions and all this sort of thing, you know, weren't they? But the first people to persecute the Christians were the Jewish authorities. Because they didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And this brings me to an old memory verse that we got. Should we just say this together? And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so this was the case for these Jewish priests. You know, Jesus had come, the light had come. But they're not recognizing him as their Messiah. And it's because they love darkness rather than light. And that this verse sends a shiver down my spine every time. And they don't like light because their deeds were evil. You know, and we can be in a similar place, you know. Often what goes on in our heads, or my head at least, cannot be great. And it seems that darkness wants to take over, but we have to hold on to the light of Jesus. And so that takes us to our next hymn, which is 1072, In Christ Alone. We find our faith is in Jesus Christ alone. That is where our hope is found. See, how did the Christians respond to this persecution? And if we check back to our passage, we see that all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And verse 4 tells us that these same Christians who were scattered preached the good news of Jesus wherever they went. And interestingly, it wasn't the apostles that went off preaching, it was the individual Christians who had heard the message, they'd taken it in, they believed it, and they told other people about it. An old memory verse we got is this one. Should we just say this together? Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Mark 6. So let's just have a quick flick back to Jesus' last words to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And they are, have we got them up or not? Or am I going to just quote them? I can't remember. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria until the ends of the earth. So the good news had been preached in Jerusalem. That was where these people became Christians. And then it goes on out through Judea and Samaria. Not necessarily by the apostles, but by ordinary Christians. And so what Jesus had asked to happen here, Jerusalem first, Judea and then Samaria, it is happening. These ordinary Christians are doing God's will and taking the word out to these places specifically. And we know it's obviously going to reach Britain one day, the ends of the earth. And so we can kind of look back on this and say, well, how good it is that the message has been taken far and wide. But, you know, it's a bit of a hard case if you're one of those Christians who are feeling they're not safe if they stay at home. They have to move to other places. Personally, I don't think I'd be very happy about it. Maybe tempted to keep my mouth shut. But these Christians, they moved to be safe, and then they kept speaking about that new faith that they'd found, which was so important, more important than the roof over their heads. But they had the Holy Spirit with them as they moved and continued to talk about Jesus with all they met. They must have taken Jesus' words to heart, I think, when he said one of our old memory verses, Matthew 6, should we say this together? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart will be also. Matthew 6, verse 20 and 21. Could we do the same? Lay up treasures in heaven and not be so concerned about treasures on earth, where they go rusty. It's a good reference to a car, I think, and a tractor. Come to that. you know, where are we laying up our treasure to? It's the key here, isn't it? These Christians are a force. Do we care about the Christians today who are forced to flee their lives because of serious persecution? And if we look at a time in Jesus' life when he was coming up to being crucified, he obviously knew that was going to happen, and he was praying with his disciples and And that in John 16, verses 31 to 33. Perhaps we could have those on the screen and read. Could I have a reader for this, please? Yeah, thank you, Angela.
John 16, 31 to 33. Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yes, I am not alone, but the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world."
Thank you. So Jesus was telling his disciples that they would be scattered. They'd followed him for 3 years, 3 years of fishing for people rather than fish, and yet crunch time is coming. These committed disciples are going to run away. You know, they've been 3 years with Jesus, and yet they're going to run away. Jesus starts this little bit we've read, "Do you finally believe?" You know, their journey to faith had been quite exciting, hadn't it? Water changed to wine, sick people made well, blind men seeing, dead people raised to life. And yet Jesus says to him, "Do you finally believe?" There seemed to be something lacking there, didn't there? He's saying, "Are you finally believing?" Well, they did believe, but I think us is similar to my case at least. You know, there's always more further you can go in your belief. And these disciples were about to have their faith tested like no other time before. They were about to see Jesus killed, and they were helpless to change the situation. You know, they'd left their ordinary life behind. They'd put their faith in Jesus and followed him for 3 years. And yet Jesus is going to be killed on the cross. And what are they going to do now? The leader is gone, their inspiration. And they're going to have this tribulation, this trial, this very difficult time to go through. Jesus, interestingly, told his disciples, "Look, you're going to run away, but actually I'm not going to be alone. God is going to be with me. God is going to be with me." And that is true for us, isn't it? You know, our friends, family, whoever can disappear, and we can feel all alone, and yet we can know that God is with us when we believe him. And Jesus said in verse 33, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I've overcome the world." He's not saying you may have trials. He's saying you will have trials. Things will go wrong while we're here on this earth. But then Jesus goes on, he said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus is bigger than the world. You know, when yesterday when my tractor wouldn't start, you know, I knew I needed it for tonight. What was I going to do? I couldn't think of anything I was going to do. But Jesus is bigger than this world. Tiny little tribulation that I suffered with. But Jesus is bigger than the world. He's overcome the world. Jesus thinks on a bigger scale than we can even ever imagine. And so is all that we care about here on earth, or is it safely banked in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrodes it, and where it can't be stolen away? Jesus said, "I have overcome the world." And an old memory verse. Should we just say this one together? "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So the question is, what is Jesus freeing us from? That's a proper question. I'm hoping for an answer. What is Jesus freeing us from? Sin? Yep. Freeing us from sin. Freeing us from being a slave to the sin. Yeah. The consequences of our sin. Thank you. And so what's the alternative then? If we don't do the sin, what are we going to do? Sorry if I confused you there. I was just trying to lead on, freed us from our sin. What is the So therefore, what do we carry on and do instead of doing our sin? Walking in the way of Jesus. That's right. Yeah, we good works. And yeah, thank you. So we have a different, we think a different way. We have a different outcome. Romans 12 verse 2. We go in a different direction because Jesus has set us free from the wrong direction. Jesus did not state that the quality of our Christian lives will be measured by how many trials we have. It's an interesting little thought. But he did state we will have trials. So we need to be ready for those times of difficulty. An old memory verse in 1 Peter 5:8 says, should we say this together? Be alert, be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. So we need to be ready. We need to be alert, because the devil is there waiting for us. We need to keep on believing in Jesus, because Jesus is bigger than the world. He's overcome the world. Isaiah 66 verse 1 says, I mentioned this last time, Isaiah says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. He's talking about God, what God is saying. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Jesus has overcome the earth, you know, the world. It's a huge, great thing, the world. Aston is trying to get around the other side of the world. It's going to take him probably 24 hours to get there on a very fast aeroplane. It's a long way. It's a long way. But it's saying here that God has the world as his footstool. You know? Puts it in perspective a little bit. But we don't need to go out and look for trouble so that we can claim that we're having this trials or persecution or anything. We don't need to go looking for trouble. Another memory verse. Do everything possible on your part to live in peace with everybody. Romans 12 verse 18. But when it comes, it's interesting, our prayer life does get a move on, I find. Another memory verse. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer. Okay, so send us, continue steadfastly in prayer. When it's difficult, you pray. And if you're anything like me, you pray more when it's difficult. And this is what the Bible's telling us. Continue steadfastly. Don't give up. It's a trial to go through, not to get stuck in the middle of. And so that moves us on to what about now? Our last little section. And persecution, what about now? And we're going to look at a map of the world, and the orange countries there are very high persecution, and the red ones are extreme persecution, where you can expect death to be around the corner. And so you can start seeing, you know, right through the middle of the earth, this is severe, very high and extreme persecution of Christians today. You know, and it's today is estimated by Open Doors that 388 million Christians, about one in seven globally, face high to extreme levels of persecution and discrimination. This crisis is increasingly driven by a mix of authoritarian regimes, religious nationalism, and extremist violence, with sub-Saharan Africa emerging as the epicenter of the violence. And we've got some missionaries who wants to travel out there and see the pastors in that really difficult environment where violence is just around the corner. But I'd like you to watch a video now. This is made by Open Doors, the charity which helps a lot of persecuted Christians. And then we'll have a song, and then we'll have a time of prayer when we can pray for Christians. We can pray for ourselves. We can pray for whatever we feel we led to pray for. And then we'll have our final hymn. But first of all, the video, please.
Imagine being at home and all of a sudden just get conscious. cries and screams of the victims. And the next thing is to hear them at your door. They're breaking into your house and setting your house on fire. And that's what happened to us. They attacked the church where I stayed with my family. Since then, there have been multiple attacks. Rape, murder, arson. It's just killings and destruction.
Imagine you are a Christian woman in Nigeria. Imagine the Islamic militants justified kidnapping, terrorizing, and abusing you just because of your faith. This is the reality of thousands of Christian women in Nigeria.
The 2026 World Watch List isn't just research. It's your family directory of the boldest Christians on earth. In the 50 most dangerous places to follow Jesus, faith should be impossible. But God specializes in the impossible.
My name is Owens Ali. I'm a Somali Christian. If I lived in Somalia, I would be killed. When I became a believer, I did not have a fellowship. Then after 7 years, I met a young Somali Christian, and the Lord added to our number daily. So by the end of the year, we had 14 members. But of the 14 members, only two remained, because the remaining 12 were killed for their faith.
Tukulat Mashna Salste, Mashna Salarminen, Benjam the passport, Tilifon, Akmetern Barna Salste. Indovarden, Thrapastas, Agent and Rishinism, Inigadin Abatrison, Mashinas Franchte, Sinalta Kabar by Yavoy, Sendisan and Mashtarte, Olga Termuji and Mashte, Jana, Vijan Charba, you know, come up with them.
For over 70 years, Open Doors hasn't just provided aid to persecuted Christians. We've walked alongside them in relationship. From Brother Andrew smuggling Bibles in the 1950s to our local teams supporting believers today in some of the most dangerous places in the world, our presence ministry spans generations. We don't just visit during crisis. We build long-term relationships that makes impossible faith possible. The believers on the World Watch List, they're not just statistics. They're our brothers, they're our sisters, they're our family.
There's just distance. People cannot identify with the plight of Christians being killed and being slaughtered just for going to church. It's so foreign to many of them. They don't understand why the Christians stay there. But how do you leave your land? How do you leave your home? How do you leave your family? How do you change your history just because there's persecution?
This year's World Watch List reveals hundreds of millions of believers facing persecution, with 15 countries experiencing record high violence. We've walked through destroyed churches with pastors who are rebuilding. We've sat with families who've lost loved ones yet continue to worship. What we witness isn't just suffering. It's impossible faith being made possible.
This is where we live for 4 years. Each and everyone you are seeing here, we are all Christians. And we are displaced because of violence.
I want to say thank you for your ministry. If not the help of your ministry, I don't think this world is a force to live.
How do people go further beyond just their awareness of the persecution that's happening?
Awareness must also be followed with engagement. And that's why I appreciate what Open Doors is doing, because you are bringing people like me and others to share firsthand their experiences with evidence that this is happening.
When you stand with persecuted believers, you're not just helping them. You're discovering what authentic faith looks like. Meet your persecuted family today. Order the 2026 World Watch List and discover where faith can cost everything, but also means everything.
So that video is made by an organization called Open Doors. If you want to offer financial support or anything, Open Doors is a very good organization to look up and check out on that front. It's interesting that persecution didn't actually start in the New Testament. Way back in Daniel, we see that in King Nebuchadnezzar's time, there were these three men who were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But they stood there and they said, with our old memory verse, "The God we serve is able to deliver us. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods." And so we can come to a time of prayer, and we can pray with these people in mind we've seen on the screen. We can pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, anything else you'd like to.